Hallelujah. Well, this is going to be a good word, so I hope you're ready to take notes or at least pay attention real good, right? Go with me to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Hallelujah. God is so good. I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I'm just extremely thankful for the Word of God. I mean, you know, every generation that preceded us didn't all of them didn't have the Word of God. Now, several of them back, yes, they did. But there were some generations that didn't have the Word. Amen. And so I am thankful for the Word of God. I'm thankful for revelation on the Word. I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit being here to speak to our hearts. Aren't you glad that you're not limited to what I know to have understanding? Okay, my wife knows enough to know that it's a good thing that you're not limited to just what I know. But the Bible says that we have the Holy Spirit, which is the teacher. And He's here teaching us the Word of God tonight. Amen? Hallelujah. So in James chapter 4, I'm gonna talk to you tonight about resisting the devil. Resisting the devil. What does it mean to resist the devil? That's what we're going to talk about tonight. And man, I'm telling you, I'm excited about this. This is a good word. This, man, I was excited when I was in my office earlier. I was looking over this and putting all my notes together. And I'm just like, glory to God. This is good stuff, man. Hallelujah. If nobody else shows up tonight, I'm going to enjoy this. I'm going to go out there and just preach it all by myself. Hallelujah. Anyways, but I want to talk to you about resisting the devil tonight. You know, the Bible says in James chapter 4 and verse 7, James chapter 4 and verse 7, simple verse, one verse is all we're looking at tonight. But it says this, it says, so humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, there is a first part of that verse, isn't there? It's the part where it says, humble yourself before God. I like to keep New King James. It says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, right? And what does it mean to humble yourself? It means to humble yourself before God means to acknowledge to Him that, God, I don't know everything, but You do know everything. To humble yourself before God is to say, God, I can't do this in my own strength, but I know that through You, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me, right? So to humble yourself before God is to say, hey, You're way better at this than I am. So I'm going to start listening to what You're saying, and I'm going to start doing it the way that You say to do it, because I know that if I do it the way You say to do it, it'll always come out good. Amen. I didn't say that you would never face any troubles in the process. I just said it will come out good. Remember what we talked about Sunday? You know, and Paul is going through all this. He says, but none of these things move me, for I know that this will turn for my deliverance. Hallelujah. I know this will turn for my deliverance. So just looking at this concept of resisting the devil, how many know it would be good to have a definition? So the definition, now this is a really deep definition, so don't let this slide by you, but resist means to resist. Let's pause and let that sink in for a little bit. No, listen, it said resist means to stand against. It means to stand in opposition to, right? This word demonstrates. It demonstrates the attitude of a person who is fiercely opposed. Are you listening? We're talking about resisting the devil, right? There's not too many, you don't really see too many people actually resisting the devil the way the Bible meant it when it said resist the devil. And he will flee. How many know if the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee, you listening? And then you think you're resisting, but he ain't fleeing? Is it possible that you're not resisting the way the Bible says to resist? Right? How many know that just acting like nothing's happening and hoping it'll go away is not resisting? Right? Police officer comes up and says, get up against the car and spread them. And you just stand there and you just act like, He's not even there. He walks around in front of you. You're like, I don't see you. I can't hear you. I don't know where you're at. How many know that is not resisting? Resisting, you get in trouble for resisting arrest when you begin to fight back. Right? And God says, resist the devil. Humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Right? And we're going to look at some words tonight that I think is going to really bring some understanding and insight to this. But this word resist, it demonstrates the attitude of a person who is fiercely opposed to something and therefore determines that they will do everything within their power to resist it, to stand against it, and to defy its operation. That's what this word resist means. So this is a person that they're so opposed to what the devil's doing that they're going to do everything within their power. And here's the cool thing, because the Bible says we can do all things through Christ. So it's not just in your power. See, that was just a natural a demonstration of what we're talking about resisting. We're not even doing it in our own power, but it's a demonstration. This word resist, it's a demonstration of a person who is in such opposition to a thing that they do everything within their power to stop that thing from coming to pass in their life, to stop the operation of that thing that they are resisting. So here's the question. Have we really resisted the devil in these areas that we see? Well, man, I've resisted, but he ain't stopping. Then, wait, because we got the word of God here, the word of God that says, humble yourself before God. Okay, Lord, I can't do this. Show me how to do it. How many's ever prayed that? He's answering that question right now. How do I do it, right? He's answering it tonight. Humble yourself before God. God, I can't do this on my own. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I would need your insight. I need your word. Give me a word. I mean, Lord, I need a word from you. Well, he's got a word for you tonight. And this is the word for you. It's an attitude of a person who is so fiercely opposed to what's coming against them that they do everything within their power. And we also have the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're doing everything within our power and the power of the Holy Spirit to stand against the thing that's coming against us. The Bible says, humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. So if he's not fleeing, then I don't think we're resisting the way the Bible said resist. You can't. This is not resisting. Something comes against you. So I heard PK. He said I gotta get in my words. I quote this. I'm gonna quote this scripture against the devil. It's still coming. I'm gonna quote this scripture. Oh, this may not be working. Oh, I'm gonna quote one more scripture. Oh, I quoted three scriptures and he's still coming. So I guess this faith stuff just doesn't work. That is not resisting. Resisting is humbling yourself before God. What does that mean? That means, Lord, anything that I say that is contrary to your word is wrong. Come on. Anything that I say that is contrary to what the word of God says is wrong. In other words, so humbling myself before God is saying, God, your word is true, period. I don't care what I've experienced up to this point, right? Faith does not come based on your previous experiences of it. Faith comes by hearing the word of God over and over and over and over and over. I'm going to show you something about the devil that he does over and over. See, the devil's got this faith thing. Except he uses it for fear. He uses it for intimidation. Right? But he knows how it works. He's just working the principle on the wrong side of the cross. On the wrong side of the coin, right? But we've got to have this resistance about us. It says, I am so opposed to what the devil's doing that I'm not going to repeat a thing that he says. I'm not going to play into his game. I'm not going to surrender and yield myself to his way of thinking. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to say one negative thing about my situation. Resistance, right? All right. So what does that mean? That means we must be aggressive. Aggressive. That's the opposite of just sticking our head in the sand and hoping that it'll go away. or just ignoring the problem and hoping it'll go away. The Bible doesn't say when the enemy comes, stick your head in your Bible and just kind of wrap it up and la, la, la all day, and then hopefully it'll go away. That's not what it said. He says, resist the devil. Humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He will flee. Amen. Hallelujah. Now listen to me. I want to say this right off the top, right? Okay, so I don't want no one getting in condemnation because you feel like, well, I guess I just haven't been resisting like I should be resisting. No, that's the lie of the enemy. I'm going to tell you right now that while I'm preaching this, the enemy's going to come to you, and he's going to tell you a lie, and he's going to try to tell you another lie to try to get you to believe, not to believe what the word is coming forth tonight. But I'm telling you, you need to resist that devil, because what I'm speaking tonight is the truth, and it will set you free. The Bible says it's the truth that you know that will set you free. Right? It's a truth that you know, the truth that is you come to know that will set you free. Amen? So faith doesn't come from having heard. It comes from hearing and hearing and hearing. But we must be aggressive, right? In other words, what does that mean? That means we must dig our heels in. You know what that means? It means like when you're trying to push something and it's pushing back against you, you don't just go, oh my goodness, I guess it's going to overwhelm me. No, you put your feet back and you dig your feet into the mud and you into the dirt, and you're just pushing back and you're digging your heels in like, no, I am not giving up. I am not giving in. I am not going to quit. This will not overwhelm me. Absolutely not. Absolutely no way. I've got, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. The devil is a liar. Jesus is the Messiah. God hasn't fallen off of his throne. That means my victory is for sure. But you've got to dig your feet in spiritually. And you got to say, uh-uh, devil. No, you ain't pushing me back not another foot, not another inch. I'm not giving up. I'm not quitting. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to stop. I am not going to stop believing this word. The word of God said it. What did Paul say? He said, I believe God that it will be just as he told me it would be. What does the Bible say? It says, whose report will you believe? Then it goes on to say, I will believe the report of the Lord. I understand that physicians have their reports. I understand that financial people have their reports. I understand that all these reports are out there. But I believe God. Whose report am I going to believe? I don't care if the market says that I can't buy this and I can't buy that, and the market's bad for this and the market's bad for that. No, here's the report I believe. But my God, that's a good question. Is he your God? But here you go. My God will supply all of my need according to his riches and glory. He didn't say nothing about looking at this economy. He didn't say nothing about looking at what that doctor said. He didn't say nothing at looking about what that whoever said or whatever market said. He didn't say nothing about looking at. He says, but my God will supply all of my need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Whose report will you believe? This one or this one? Right? We're going to believe the report of the world, or we're going to believe what the report of the Lord says. Right? But we're making our decisions tonight. I believe God. That's why I love when Paul said that. I believe God right in the middle of a storm, man. Right in the middle of a storm that was tearing the boat apart. They were throwing stuff overboard. Some of them were even despairing of their own lives. And he says, but I believe God that it will be. God says the boat will be lost, but not a single person will lose their life. You guys are going to go floating out there like you're going to be bobbing like little fishing bobs. But let me tell you something, you're not going to die. That's what he said. And every single one of them made it to shore. I believe God that it will be just like the Lord said. Amen? Hallelujah. So we got to dig our heels in. We got to use the full force to drive back the enemy. Because let me tell you something, the enemy is aggressive. You want to learn aggression, man, just look at him for once, right? He is aggressive. He is coming at you with everything and the kitchen sink, right? He is coming at you with everything he's got. But the Bible says that we lift up the shield of faith and it will quench every flaming missile of the enemy. every fiery dart. I think it's the Amplified says every flaming missile. Hallelujah. In other words, it doesn't matter how big it is and how much flame it's got. The shield of faith is meant to be held up in front of you. Right? Well, here's what a lot of people do. They wait till they get in a problem, and all of a sudden, here comes missiles. Oh, my God. And they're getting pummeled by all these missiles. And then they finally, oh, where's my shield of faith? Oh, my, oh, I left it over there. Oh, my goodness. No, we got to, come on. You lead with the shield of faith. You know, when the Bible talks about all your spiritual armor, it says this, above all, taking the shield of faith. That doesn't mean that the shield of faith is more important than any other component. What it means is, but you're leading with the shield of faith. Above all else, you take the shield of faith. In other words, your faith is out there with everything else. Right? Hallelujah. Okay, I'm getting too preachy here. Okay, here we go. All right. But he's talking about being aggressive and digging your heels in, right? You got to understand the devil's attack is against your mind and against your emotions. That's where the devil's attack is. Well, if the devil's attack is against your mind and your emotions, where do you think the word needs to be? Needs to be where the attack is. So we need to get our minds renewed to the word of God. Right? We got to get our minds renewed, right? And we got to keep our emotions under subjection. We got to keep control of our emotions. God never meant for your emotions to lead you, guide you, and direct you. We're not to be governed and ruled by our emotions. He didn't say, and I'm going to send emotions, and you, all the sons of God are going to be led by the emotions of God. He didn't say that. He says, those that are led by the Spirit of God, those are the sons of God. He said, I'm going to send you another one. The Holy Spirit is going to lead you. We're to be led by the Spirit, not by our emotions. Why? Because emotions are fickle, man. They are, how many know, they can be all over the board. I mean, one day you're feeling great, the next day, heck, one day you're feeling great, and 10 minutes later you're not feeling all that because somebody said this or somebody said that or the devil said this, the devil said that, so now I'm all depressed, I'm all upset. No, that's when you tell the devil, you know what, shut up, devil. Did you hear what I said? Shut up. Everybody say that with me. Shut up, devil. Can we say it again? Shut up, devil. You need to go home and practice that. Right? Shut up, devil. Now, I don't raise my son to tell people to shut up, but the devil is one person I'm telling you that you need to tell him, shut your face. Right? Shut your trap. What are you saying? I'm not interested in a single lie that you're telling. You know how they say, how can you tell that person's lying? Because their lips are moving. You can tell the devil's lying when he's talking to you. Right? How do you know when he's talking? Because he's telling you stuff that's contrary to this book. It is a surefire bet that the devil is lying when you're hearing things, you're having thoughts that are contrary to what the word says. When you start hearing a person say, well, I know that's what the word says, but whoa, stop right there. I know that's what you said that the word says, but I know that that's what you preach, but I know that's what the word says, but you need to stop right there because now you're fixing to start uttering stuff that's not even in line with the word. There is no, the word says, but. There is a but in the Bible. And it is, but thank God who always gives me the victory. Amen. But thank God. But thank God. That's the only but should be coming out of your mouth. You should never allow yourself to say, well, I know that's what the word says, but. No, now you're letting me know that you're listening to things that are not in line with the word. That's why we got to get this word, get our minds renewed to it. That's why we encourage our people, encourage you guys to read your chapter every day. Get the word of God inside. Don't read it just for the sake of so you can say I read through it. Come on, read that thing and pay attention. If you're reading and all of a sudden I've done this. Come on. I mean, this year I've done this. I'll be sitting there reading and all of a sudden my mind is like starting to think about things I need to do when I get done reading. Right? And I'm like, hold it. Hold on just a minute. Right? Let's back this thing up. And I'll go back up to where I remember what I read. and I'll read it again. And I tell my mind, focus. Pay attention to what you're reading right here. We're not doing this just for exercise. We're doing this because this word is what I'm going to need at some point in my life. But how many know if it ain't in there and that time comes when you need it, it ain't there. The Holy Spirit's one of his jobs is to bring to our remembrance the things that he has taught us. Now, as Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says this, give superabundant attention. Give superabundant, that's the way I say it. That's not actually how it says it. It says give heed to, right? That word heed means superabundant attention. So sometimes I throw in the definition when I'm, that's the way I read it, right? But anyway, it says, take heed to things that you hear, lest they drift away. In other words, it means give superabundant attention to the things that you've heard, lest they drift and slip away from you. See, so we've got to pay attention when we're reading. Right? Even in your prayer times. I mean, how many has ever been in your prayer time and you start praying and like 2 minutes later, your mind is like, woo, right? I know I'm not the only one, right? I have to go, whoa, woo, come back here. Come on, mind. Get back on over here. All right. Now, okay, let's focus. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for that person again. Lord, I pray for that situation again. And I'm locked and loaded. I'm focused. Lord, I thank you for your faithfulness. Whatever, right? So you have to arrest your mind because your mind is fickle. Your mind wants to think on here. And your mind wants to think over there. And you have to arrest your emotions. Your emotions wants to feel this and it wants to feel that. But I'm not led. I'm not called to be led by my emotions. I'm called to be led by the Spirit of God. Okay, now I want to talk to you about something because the devil's attack is against the mind and our emotions. But I want to give you a definition of what the devil is. The devil is actually more of a job description. The word devil is more of a job description than it is a title. It's more of a job description than it is a name, right? We say I'm resisting the devil as if it's like a person. And it is the person of Satan that's trying to come against you. But the devil, the word devil is more of a job description than it is a name. Listen to this. The word devil, and I'm not going to get into all the Greek. You can go look that up for yourself. It comes from two different Greek words, and you put them together, and this is what it means. The word devil, when you put those Greek words together, this is what it means. It means devil, means to repetitiously throw something. Are you listening? The word devil means to repetitiously throw something, striking again and again and again until the object being struck has finally been completely penetrated. Can you start to see how the devil works? See how that's more of a job description title than it is a name, right? Resisting the devil, right? Okay, that's what it means. It means to throw something again and again, to strike against something again and again and again. It's like taking a sledgehammer to a brick wall and you just hit it and you hit it and you hit it. And then bit by bit, I mean, little chunks are flying, little chips are flying. And eventually, if you keep striking it enough, you'll break a hole through that brick wall. That's what the devil's job description is. Can you see how he does that? He brings thought after thought after. What is he doing? He's throwing blow after blow, and this is what a lot of people do. Oh, what happened? Oh, I don't know what's going on. And you're just allowing the enemy to hit you with thought after thought after thought after thought, and his ambition is to wear you down. Until you come to the point where you actually start believing the thoughts he's throwing at you. Then what happens? Well, if he can throw blow after blow, I'm going to tell you in a minute how to stop those blows. But listen to this. His job is to throw blow after blow, thought after thought after thought after thought. And if we don't resist it, then we'll get to the point where we're completely worn down, and then we'll start actually listening and entertaining the thoughts. And when we come to the point where we're completely worn out and we give in to the devil, now he starts building a stronghold of thoughts against you, And that's where he begins to manipulate and to control you in your mind, because you have sat there and allow him to hit you blow after blow, and you never did a thing about it, probably because you didn't know what to do about it. But we're changing that tonight. Right? We're changing that tonight. I'm telling you tonight how to resist the devil. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay. All right, so where are we? Okay, so it means to repetitiously throw something, striking again and again and again until the object being struck has finally been completely penetrated. But he's doing it to wear you down, right? That's what boxers do, man. They just keep jabbing and jabbing and looking for their shots and jab. What are they doing? They're trying to wear their, they're not worried. Most of them are not really trying to, they'll take a victory in the first round. But if the other opponent's, you know, formidable, then, okay, well, I'll just keep pounding. You know, football. I mean, some of us were talking football, you know, before service. And it's like, in football, what do they do, man? They keep running the ball. What are they doing? They're trying to wear down the defensive line. And then they bring in some fresh guys, and they keep running the ball, and they keep pounding, and they wear down the defensive line until fourth quarter. That's why you see a lot of football games, everybody at the fourth quarters, okay, we got to play for four quarters. Why? Because they're trying to wear down the defense, and you see it time and time again. That defensive line is so worn down by the middle of the fourth quarter that now you bring in a fresh runner, and they're starting to run through holes as big as a Mack truck, man. It seems like nobody can stop the running back now. Why? It's the same guys that was there. What has happened? They've been worn down. They're low on energy. They're whipped. They're tired. And they don't seem to have the energy to stop the running backs anymore. And see, that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to wear you down. Throw this lie. Throw that lie. Throw this lie. Throw that lie. Give you this thought. Give you that thought. I mean, he's just trying to wear you down until he can get you to where you are just like, you have no energy left to fight. Can you see how the devil's trying to work against you? And if he is successful, in other words, if you stop resisting and give in, that's when you know the devil's been successful against you. Because you get to the point where you don't even resist anymore. You don't even look at your Bible. You don't even put on any worship, man. You don't pray. You don't even quote a scripture at him. You're just like, whatever. You know, you start folding, you start giving in. But that's not what God wants. But that's why we've got to get the Word of God on the inside of us. Because when the enemy throws a lie, what happened with Jesus? Remember, he was baptized, had that amazing monumental moment. He was baptized, he come up, and here he is, and the Bible says, and the Holy Spirit descended as like a dove upon him. And this voice out of heaven booms down and says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. I mean, that's a famous moment in history, right? It's a famous moment with people that believe the Bible, right? I mean, it's one of those profound moments, right? But then the Bible says, the very next verse, right? The Holy Spirit, Jesus was led of the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted. And here's Jesus. He's been in there for 40 flipping days. Most people get the idea that he went in there and he, somewhere during the 40 days, he got tempted, and somewhere else in the 40 days. No, the Bible says after he had been fasting in the desert for 40 days, after he had been there for 40 days, the enemy comes. What is he doing? The enemy tries to come when you're weak. When he thinks you're weak and he thinks he's got a moment, he's looking for that opportunity to come in your moment of weakness. He's coming in, but he ran into the wrong person in the desert, because then he began to quote scripture. Devil ever tried to quote a scripture to you? Right? So here he is. He's quoting scripture to Jesus, and Jesus responded with the word. Right? He said, why don't you cast yourself down? Doesn't the Bible say that if you cast yourself down, the angels will catch you lest you dash your foot against a stone? And Jesus said, yeah, but it is also written. It is also written, right? It is also written. And see, Jesus began to quote the word back to him. And what happened? Eventually, the Bible says that the devil left him. Can I tell you that if you will start quoting a scripture from your heart, the devil will leave you alone. I'm not saying he's going to die and never come at you at some other time. I'm not saying that. That's not even scriptural. But what I am telling you that is scriptural, if you will resist the devil, he will flee. You can get to the point where you're resisting. Okay, let me just continue preaching here. Okay, I'll help you here. Okay, listen. So how do we stop the devil? And I've already covered this part. Tell him to shut up. In other words, you're telling him, I refuse to believe your lies. Why is he throwing these things at you? Why is he throwing these thoughts? You may think, well, why does it matter if I listen to one of his little thoughts? Because every thought is a piece of bait that has a hook in the middle that you don't know about. He's looking to get control in your life somehow, some way. And he's got a hook in there. Don't you know that when he tempted Jesus, there was a hook in that bait? Right? When he tempted Jesus to make the stones into bread, what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. When he tempted Jesus to throw himself down, that the angels would protect him, Jesus says, it is written also that you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Why? Because Jesus knew that there was a hook in that bait. For Jesus to surrender to that temptation was for him to surrender to the lordship of Satan himself. When the enemy says, let me take you up on it, he took him up on this high pedestal and he began to show him all the kingdoms of the earth. He says, if you will bow down and worship me. Now he's just like, okay, well, the hook, I'm just going to throw the hook out there. Forget the bait, right? But he still had bait, right? His bait was trying to give Jesus all this power over all the kingdoms of the earth. Jesus said, what did Jesus say? He says, I will only worship the Lord my God, right? But there was a hook there because he was trying to get possession and get control of Jesus. But Jesus used the word. And guess what happened? Because Jesus kept using the word, sending the word right back at him, what did it say? It says, then finally the devil left him, and then the angels came and ministered to Jesus. And here's the cool thing. He was for 40 days in there, and he was fighting the devil with all these thoughts that was coming against him and everything. But listen to this. Do you know the Bible says that he came out of the desert in the power of the Spirit of God? He came out in power. Why? Because he resisted the devil, and the devil left him, and the angels came and ministered to him. I'm telling you that if you will resist the devil with the word of God, in the name of Jesus, with the authority of the believer that God and the authority that he has given you with the word of God and with the name of Jesus, the devil will have to leave you. That means you get to this place where thoughts are not coming near as often. Near as frequent. That doesn't mean the devil never. Hey, there's still times the devil tries to put a thought in me, but it ain't nothing like it used to be. When I was young in the Lord, when I was just not. I mean, I didn't know nothing. I mean, the enemy was throwing every kind of thought he could, right? But I don't have near those thoughts now because why? Because he knows he's not going to win with that. And you can get to the same place, but you've got to do it God's way. Amen. All right, real quickly, let's look at this. And if you notice in verse 7 again, it says, resist the devil and he will flee. Look at what this word flee means real quickly, and I'm almost done. This word flee means, it depicts a lawbreaker. It means flee. It means, you know, we'll go away, whatever. Okay, but this is a picture to help define what that word means. It depicts a lawbreaker that flees in terror from a nation where they broke the law. You hear about people, I mean, they broke a law and so they leave the country, right? Because they're trying to get away from the jurisdiction. Come on, oh, this is good right here. Oh my gosh, this is good. Listen. They're trying to get out of the country because they're trying to get out of the jurisdiction where the law can come and arrest them and prosecute them for their crime. And when the Bible says resist the devil and he will flee, he is running from you because he's trying to get away from the jurisdiction. You've heard me say it before. When the devil brings a sickness or something against you, you need to look at him and say, shut up, devil. You are in the wrong jurisdiction. I am no longer up under your power. I am up under the power of the kingdom of God. This is the wrong jurisdiction for you to try to be bringing that stuff against me. Wrong jurisdiction. And that's what these criminals, when they commit a crime and they're trying to leave the country, they're trying to get away from the jurisdiction where prosecution can be brought. And so when the Bible says that we resist the devil and he will flee, when you resist him according to the word of God, he's going to run from you the same way that criminal is running from their crime, because he does not want to have to face that prosecution. But what does he know? Let me tell you what the devil knows. Well, the devil knows that if every believer resists him using God-given authority, the name of Jesus, with the word of God, that believer will begin to rule and dominate him. That's what the devil knows. He knows it better than you do. Better than we do, right? Come on. He knows it, man. Oh, my gosh. That's why he can't stay there if you're resisting him the way the word says to resist him. That means, in other words, I'm gonna keep on quoting the word of God. I'm going to keep on declaring by faith that I am delivered from this situation. I am not going to believe the lies of the enemy. One single lie, one single thing the enemy, one single thought that comes against my mind that is contrary to this, I'm going to rebuke it. I'm going to defy it in the name of Jesus. And I'm going to say, no, this is what the word of God says about me. Because I've been reading my chapter. I've been getting the word on this. I know who I am in Christ. Therefore, in the name of Jesus, devil, you're a liar. I am the healed. I am the head, not the tail. I'm an overcomer, not an undergoer. Right? I am the victor, not the victim. Come on. I am greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You can't declare those things without faith. I mean, I just feel faith is brewing up on the inside of me, man. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Glory to God. That's what the devil knows. He knows that if you will listen to this word, if you will get this, if you will begin to walk in your God-given authority, if you will begin to walk in the and live in the name of Jesus Christ, and you will begin to declare the word of God, then his work in your life is over. That's what he knows. And that's why he is acting like the devil, that one that is coming with blow after blow after blow, thought after thought, missile after missile, flaming dart after dart. He keeps coming and keeps coming, trying to wear you down, to get you to where you'll quit, you'll give up, you'll start saying the things that he's telling you, and then he knows, because he has won the battle between your ears. He has won the battle of the mind, and when he has won that battle, then you're just going to say whatever he tells you to say. But how many know, do you think maybe it's time for us to start declaring the word of God back at him? Come on, no, we're not going to quit. We're going to dig our heels in. We're going to fight back with everything within us. We're going to be that person that has so much tenacity. No, I am not giving up to the devil. I'm not giving in. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to fail. In the name of Jesus, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I'm an overcomer, not an undergoer, praise God. I'm an overcomer, not an undergoer. Therefore, I do not need an undertaker. Amen? Because the devil's not going to defeat you. He's not going to defeat you if we do it God's way. That's why he says, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Now listen to this, and I'm done. So if you put these definitions together, you could read it like this. It's kind of like an expanded or a contemporary interpretation. In other words, I'm just basically taking the definitions and we're putting them in together with this verse. Listen to this. He says, stand firmly against the devil. That's right. Be unbending and unyielding in the way you resist him, so that he knows he is up against a serious contender. If you'll take this kind of stand against him, he will tuck his tail and run like a criminal who knows the day of prosecution is upon him. Once you start resisting him, he'll flee from you in terror. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? Glory to God. This is how we need to resist the devil. Brothers, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing. I'm standing in faith. But boy, I tell you what, that devil sure is laying the wood against me. What? Okay, that's a southern term, sorry. Okay, I'll try to northwestern it. Yeah, the devil, I'm standing in faith, but the devil, he's just trying to come against me on all sides. Come on. Faith doesn't talk like that. You're sitting there, I'm standing in faith, but you're giving all the glory to the devil. Talking about how big and bad he is and all he's doing in your life. No, come on, that's not faith. Faith, how you doing, brother? Man, I tell you what, devil's tried a few things, but let me tell you something. My God is greater, man. I tell you what, greater is he that is in me that's in the world, man. I tell you what, Alice, man, I mean, God is so good. I mean, he's been so good to me. And what I do, I just like to, you know, I mean, he tries to give me these thoughts, but I just been spending some time thinking about all the times he's delivered me in the past. Oh, man, God is so good. Can you see a difference? Which one gives you energy? The one where you're giving God all the praise. Instead of talking about, I'm believing, I'm standing in faith, but man, I tell you what, the devil's doing this and the devil's doing that. Man, I'll tell you what, why don't you go talk to the wall, because I don't want to hear that, right? No, come on. The Bible says that we are overcomers, amen? Stand firmly against the devil. That's right. Be unbending and unyielding in the way you resist him so that he knows he is up against a serious contender. It'll take, if you'll take this kind of stand against him, he will tuck his tail and run like a criminal who knows the day of prosecution is upon him. Once you start resisting him, he'll flee from you in terror. Come on, let's start speaking the word and using the name of Jesus. Amen? And guess what will happen? He will flee. There's no doubt about it. There is no doubt in my mind. No doubt in my mind. If you resist the devil using the name of Jesus, using your authority, and using the word of God, he will flee. And if you will resist him like you mean it, he will flee from you. And you won't face near the annoyances that he's been throwing at you. Because as long as he feels like it's working, if it ain't broken, why fix it, right? He's going to keep on coming. But once, and that's what he saw with Jesus. He saw that it wasn't working, so he left. Because he knew, okay, this ain't working. I'm about to get my butt whipped. And so I got to get out of here, right? And that's the way he'll feel about you if you'll start using your authority, using the name of Jesus, and using the word of God. Amen? Did you guys get anything out of this tonight?
Yeah.
Glory to God. That was good. Heather, come on up.
Come on. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, that was for me for sure because... You know what? You get when you have so much going, like he said, you get busy and, you know, just stuff happens. And I was just talking to Bruce about, you know, some things just like I'm done with this house thing. And it's not that I'm done, but it's just that, you know, you kind of just get to that point where you're just kind of. But the Lord was just reminding me. He's like, Heather, don't get discouraged. Don't get dismayed. I've got that home for you. And so don't look at the circumstances. Don't look at what everything's going on. And so I just want to encourage you. Let's stop. The Lord is just speaking to me a lot of different things and I can't give you everything, but I do know I am a fighter. I don't give up. I don't quit. I trust the Lord and I look to him. Now, how he does it, that's between him and how, I mean, it's up to him. I want his best and he knows me better than I know myself. You know what I'm saying? And he knows the future. He knows and he sees ahead. So that's why I trust him to guide and direct me and show me what he has. But I'm telling you right now that God has provision in every area of our lives. And if we will trust him, if we'll hold on to him and we will declare his praises, you guys can stand up. If we will declare his praises, that he's going to be glorified, he's going to be magnified. And what Ken was said was so good. Let's stop saying what the devil's doing. Let's just stop doing that. I mean, why should we? You know, I mean, I don't, when we say that, then the enemy's like, oh, goody, goody. See, she recognizes what I'm doing. No, I don't want to even let him know that I'm recognizing that. Right. And I know if you've done that before, I'm not saying, you know, no condemnation, but what we're just saying is let's start changing that. If we can, let's start that process of changing. Well, the devil's done this and he's doing this to me now. You know, he's really on a, hey, we've all done it. We've all been there and said that before, right? But we can change that and say, you know, it doesn't really matter. He may have tried this, but God. Oh, but God, but I'm going to praise you, God. But your word says this, God, but I trust you, God. But you are good, God. You're faithful, God. You're going to see me through, God. You know what I'm saying? Let's do that. Let's have our speech on positive things, on speaking about God more than what the enemy's doing. Amen. Let's just start there. That'll be a good one just from this message to start there. And that will help us. Yeah, preach the good news. That will just help us. I mean, there's a lot that he was talking on, but if you can take that first one right there, less of talking about the enemy and what he wants to do and what he's doing, and more on you know what? No matter what the circumstances say, no matter what my feelings say, God's greater, God's bigger. His promises are true. Amen. Let's start with that one principle and build on the other ones. And resist, that helps resist the devil when we do that, right? Amen. Oh, Father, we just thank you and praise you for your faithfulness.